Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for Southern California Lifestyles. We have on the line with us Bobby Dooley, and she is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. You might have been hearing in the news lately across the country controversies about yellow ribbons. Here in California, it reached an all-time low. There was a woman going around Santa Barbara cutting them off of trees, and I think she stopped doing it before she got killed. Basically, I mean, if somebody had seen her doing that, she would have taken, no doubt, a severe beating, but I guess she was anti-war. Ms. Dooley, I'm not saying that that's you, for starters.
Thank you, Phil. No, we're not patriotic at all.
But this has to do with your CCNRs?
Yeah.
Tell me, first of all, a CCNR is codes?
Codes, covenants, and regulations. That's what regulates Western Estates and other gated communities. No, we have regulations against any kind of out-of-season decoration, especially if it does not conform to our code color, which is Mediterranean. And we really don't deviate, Phil. Yellow ribbons tied on trees, unfortunately, and I say this as someone who very much loves her country, is not a look that conforms. It is technically a violation. And it really looks a little gaudy, also, Phil, when you have people running around the neighborhood tying these ribbons. So it's not uniform, and it doesn't look... as we like to say, it doesn't look like Western Estates.
Tell me about Janice Greeley, though, who is the lady that lives there at Western Estates, whose son is MIA in Iraq, and there are people who are rather emotional about that.
Well, Phil, first of all, thank you for giving me an opportunity to explain our position, because you're right. The emotions surrounding this have been devastating. Janice is one of our neighbors. I'm very sympathetic to her. She does have a son who is missing in action in Iraq, and I have told her that if she were to send me a written request and we can get it approved by our homeowners association, what we'd like to do, rather than have her tie these yellow ribbons, which are against code, we'd like to have her speak at our Falltacular dinner dance during the break between the fashion show, and she can pass out flyers with her son's picture and a number to call. But no, we don't want her tying the yellow ribbons.
And she's been hostile to you.
She has been hostile. And I find it to be, I think what it is really more than anything else, Phil, is just a woman who's upset about her son and him being missing.
All right, so no yellow ribbons. But the part that she is contesting vehemently, not only with the Homeowners Association, but she's had a letter printed in the L.A. Times.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate that she did that.
All right, she said, and if I have this wrong, you tell me, have you nailed your underwear to a tree or...
You know, Phil, hold on. What she's tried is character assassination. Because we don't want her tying her yellow ribbons, which really, Phil, in many instances, is simply the person who's tying them trying to get attention for themselves. They really don't care whether a son comes back or not.
Are you saying that's the case with Ms. Greeley?
No, I'm not, Phil, but I'm saying she is trying to assassinate my character with her letters to the L.A. Times.
But is it true? Have you nailed or tacked your underwear to trees?
If I can explain.
Go ahead.
We lost our beagle, his name is Beppy, last week. Something scared him, and he got out of our dog run. Animals respond to scent, and the best way to give an animal a track back to where they live is through scent.
And all right, so you're tacking your underwear to trees as a way of attracting the dog through scent. Just tell me yes or no, because I don't want to with...
I totally understand that, Phil. That is correct. And you know, it didn't need to be brought up. It didn't need to be pointed out in the L.A. Times. It is a perfectly normal way of helping an animal track back home. You can read any dog fancier magazine. And I can forgive Janice that, because she, I think, is a little bit unstable.
Why?
I think she's unstable since her son was reported MIA. She wants to tie yellow ribbons, even though it is clearly against the code governing decorations. And then she writes a letter to the LA Times about me tacking three pairs of underwear to trees, which is a totally normal way of getting a dog to track back home. I find it offensive, and I find that un-American, Phil.
All right, we're talking with Bobby Dooley. I know you're going to be joined by your husband, Steve.
Yeah, he, Phil, has some information, particularly on the situation.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should a woman be allowed to tie yellow ribbons for a missing in action son if they violate the regulations, the decoration regulations of a homeowners association? And if she's not allowed to, are you allowed to tack your underwear, though, to a tree?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Because what's the difference? I mean, you know, I don't mean to laugh.
Well, Phil, it's not like they're thongs. You know, they are regular granny panties that I wear because they're just functional.
Well, I don't want to know what kind of panties they are. I'm just saying you're tacking your panties up on a tree to attract your dog back home with scent. Don't you think the yellow ribbons are a little bit more important?
Well, Phil, first of all, I can do something about getting the dog back home. There's nothing Janice can do about getting her son home. All she can do is tie her yellow ribbons, which I really feel is simply a way of getting attention, not for the young person missing, but for the person tying it. And I really don't, I really didn't want to say that.
I think that's a little harsh for a lady who's got a son missing.
But Phil, I didn't want to say it, but I really, really, really think in Janice's case, especially, I think it's all about her. I think people that tie yellow ribbons and...
Well, watch out.
That's my husband, Steve. He's telling me to watch out now.
My wife's getting wound up.
It's all right.
Is that Mr. Dooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dooley, your wife is saying then that she thinks people that tie yellow ribbons are
Well, she thinks it's all about them.
I really do think so, Phil. It's like, look at me. I have a son in Iraq. Look at me. Me. Well, I have a son in the morgue. My son...
Honey, please.
No, I want to say this. My son was killed in early March in an automobile accident. My son isn't alive enjoying himself in Iraq or whatever they do. He's dead. And if she really wanted to find her son, if that was my son, Steve, what did you...
Well, I'd be on a plane to Iraq.
That's right. My husband says it best. I'd be on a plane to Iraq in a second. We got our dog back by being proactive. Tying yellow ribbons is all about me. Look, I have a son.
All right, Ms. Dooley, I, you say ribbons violate your CCNRs. What I'm saying is, what about tacking underwear to a tree?
This was an emergency. It was temporary. I am the president of our homeowners association. I am afforded some special circumstance. Reading of the regulations, you haven't yet mentioned the assault she committed.
What happened? Ms. Greeley attacked you, correct?
I went to her.
She attacked my wife.
Hold on, Mr. Dooley.
No, hold on. I went to her in a spirit of friendship, and I asked her in the spirit of friendship to stop writing letters to the L.A. Times, and as an olive branch, if she would stop writing the letters to the Times, I would bring my special seven-layer dip, which I know she likes, to her son's wake, because I don't think they're going to find the boy alive.
But she's hoping for... See, this is the reason why she went after you. She's hoping for the safe return of her boy, and you're offering to bring dip to his wake?
Well, so are the parents of Lacey Peterson.
That's right. My husband said it very well. So were the parents of Lacey Peterson. They were hoping for her safe return. I'm doing something proactive to bring my dog back, and she's tying yellow ribbons. It violates their CCNRs. And really, there's nothing more that I have to say about it.
Well, hold on, because I do want to, if possible, take some calls from our listeners. Ms. Dooley, would that be all right?
I do have two meetings that I got to get to, Phil.
If you can give us just a few minutes.
I will try, and I do appreciate you hearing us out.
All right, because we did hear your story. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley, the president, vice president of the Western States Homeowners Association. They have prohibited a woman from tying yellow ribbons in the neighborhood because it violates decoration codes they have for their neighborhood. Ms. Dooley, on the other hand, though, has tacked three pairs of her underwear to trees, trying to attract her dog home that got out. Now, I don't know. She says that's the way a lost dog is found. But if you're tacking your underwear to a tree to get a lost dog back, why can't a woman put yellow ribbons up for her? She's got a son, this Ms. Greeley, who is MIA. Ms. Dooley has said she thinks people that tie yellow ribbons are doing it because they want to attract attention to themselves and not to try to find a missing boy. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Welcome back to Suburban Lifestyles. This segment with Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western States Homeowners Association. They have a battle going on in their neighborhood. A woman who wanted to put up yellow ribbons. She has a son who's MIA, is not being allowed to do that because the code, the decoration code for their neighborhood doesn't allow for that kind of thing. And yet, the president of the Homeowners Association, Ms. Dooley, has tacked up three or four pairs of her underwear on trees to attract home a missing dog, which I guess is attracted by scent. Is that correct, ma'am?
You know, Phil, without getting too much into it here.
Believe me, I don't want to get that far into it.
Yes, it is attracted to scent, exactly. And
again, your response to me saying, isn't it more important to tie a yellow ribbon for a young man who's MIA in Iraq than to hang underwear up to attract a dog?
Again, Phil, we're being proactive. This is something that will bring the dog home. Tying a yellow ribbon isn't going to bring anybody home. It just makes the person who ties the yellow ribbon feel... What were you saying the other day? Steve's here. What were you saying, Steve?
It makes them feel like they're a big shot, like they're going to do something about it.
Yeah, you know, my husband, I think, said it very well. It makes them feel like a big shot. And I think in this world we're living in right now, Phil, we have far too many big shots and not enough just regular people, you know, who are...
What, tacking their underwear to trees?
Again, it's character assassination.
I'm sorry, I'm making a joke, but to me, that's what it is. 1-800-449-8686.
It's purely for attention, Phil.
Just to look like a big shot.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here now to our first call is Armando. Hello, Armando, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I've been listening to these two mm-hmm. individuals, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley,
mm-hmm.
and I have never heard a mm-hmm. more insensitive lady in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This lady who hangs yellow ribbons
mm-hmm.
is because she's hoping that somehow
mm-hmm.
her son, who's defended this country,
mm-hmm.
who's dying for this country,
mm-hmm.
will be back. You said that,
mm-hmm.
that you have a wake. You said that these kids
right.
who are...
That's
enjoying
right.
themselves in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
No, lady, they're not mm-hmm. enjoying themselves in Iraq.
Well, you know what
they're
I
giving
meant.
Their blood,
mm-hmm.
their guts,
mm-hmm.
their tears, and their lives for us who are enjoying ourselves here in
mm-hmm.
Gold Gables, in
mm-hmm.
Miami,
mm-hmm.
in wherever or whatever you live, ma'am,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know what Western states or whatever it is.
We're in Southern California.
I can tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who wants to be a big shot is you. Because you said
mm-hmm.
that in order for this lady to hang the yellow ribbons, she should have come to you and make a some sort of request from the association. You already mentioned about 10 times that you're the president of the association. Did you make a request to the association, ma'am? Even if you're the president,
mm-hmm.
you cannot
mm-hmm.
hang anything unless the association, which I'm sure they have the board of directors,
mm-hmm.
approves
mm-hmm.
it. So
well,
you
I
can
agree
do
with,
it.
I agree with Armando.
So,
just
so you can do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can do it, but this lady cannot. On top of that,
well,
the yellow ribbons are pretty because when I see them, I know
mm-hmm.
that there's the life of somebody who's fighting for us who,
mm-hmm.
And their parents want them to come back. If I see
mm-hmm.
a three pairs of underwear hanging anywhere, any place, and they're put there in order to attract dogs by scent, I imagine that they must be dirty because if they were washed, they wouldn't have any scent.
That's
and
exactly
believe,
the, that's
the
point. It's
the dirtiest thing in the world to hang your dirty underwear. And it's not a pun. But it's always said, hanging the dirty underwear. That's what you're doing, lady.
You know
we don't
I
want you in this
terrible
we don't want you in this country. We
mm-hmm.
don't want you in this country. We don't
mm-hmm.
want you anywhere where
I
our children are dying and you're mucking. and saying that they want, this lady wants to be a big shot. This lady is crying because her son is missing.
All right,
this lady, Armando,
that's a good point. Let's let the Ms. Dooley.
First of all, to listen to this gentleman, you'd think that his wife never had to wash any underwear in her life. Am I right or am I wrong, sir?
She washes it, but she doesn't hang it anywhere for people to see.
Well, no, but if you lost a dog, how else are you going to get it home but by hanging your wife's underwear out? I don't understand.
Put like everybody does, put signs.
Put a sign up that says, yeah, my dog's missing.
Put ads in the newspaper.
No,
we've done
that. That's the old way of doing it.
We have rules against that in our association. You can't put a
You have rules against. You have rules against putting ads in the paper? That's what we did once, and we recover our dog.
Wait,
we gave a bottle of whiskey out.
I lost my dog. Do you want me to put an ad in the Miami Herald? Is that it? Lost one dog in California. Do you know where it is in Miami? I don't think so.
Decide whatever the dog was lost.
We have rules against it in our homeowners association.
Rules against
wait a minute. So you can't put up yellow ribbons, and you can't put up a sign that says I lost a dog, but you can hang unwashed underwear from trees.
You know, Phil, this is character assassination. We're trying to get our dog back.
But hanging smelly underwear on trees? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is just unbelievable.
I think you're focusing too. The underwear is slightly stained, but it...
Slightly stained with what?
Oh, God! God!
In the front or in the rear?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
What are you asking my wife, sir?
I couldn't care less, but my wife doesn't even stain it. She does. I'm sure that she'll send it. Let me see it. Much
you know
less
something?
Hang it outside.
Here's the thing. Dogs are attracted...
We know, by scent. We got all the thing about the... The problem we're having, Ms. Dooley, is that you'll go ahead and hang your underwear, but a lady who wants to hang yellow ribbons for a boy that's MIA, you won't let him do that.
It is against our CCNRs.
Hanging underwear isn't?
There is nothing in the CCNRs about hanging underwear. You're right, there isn't.
So you took advantage of...
Is there anything against hanging yellow ribbon?
Yes, it's out-of-season decoration.
How about the decoration of dirty underwear?
That's not decoration.
What are decorating? Porno or something?
No, it's not decoration. It's to get a dog back. We lost a dog that we love very much. I lost my son in March.
Do you ever start to think that maybe the dog left because of the smell of the underwear?
Aren't you funny?
I'm not funny.
You've only been in America a short time, and you already have got that honed sense of humor.
All right, look. Armando, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Again, Phil, this is character assassination. I have tried to be a lady about this.
Well, unfortunately, we're forced into talking about this. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us. They're not allowing yellow ribbons to be tied in their neighborhood. The lady who wanted to tie the yellow ribbon, whose son is MIA, doesn't like Ms. Dooley hanging her underwear from trees. Shane, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I just wanted to make a point. You know, that this is very un-American.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very un-American.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin that was buried yesterday, as a matter of fact, that was killed in Iraq, and I could not be to his funeral or his wake because I'm on over-the-road truck driver. And this homeowners association is very overrated. You can hang dirty underwear on a tree, but this lady cannot hang yellow ribbons up. And where I'm from, you'd be running clean out of the neighborhood. I'm from South Alabama, and it don't matter what your homeowners association our neighborhood watch, whatever says, we can hang whatever we want out. We hang red, white, and blue. We hang black at death. We hang yellow during this peacetime. With the town where I'm from, the National Guard unit is on standby to leave, and it's a yellow ribbon in every tree, every light pole. I reckon it's against your homeowners association to hang a flag out
there. What about underwear? You see, the thing...
Never mind the underwear. Hey, Shane, very well said. I got to take a break. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. A woman whose son is MIA wanted to hang yellow ribbons. She's not allowed to, but this woman, to attract home a lost dog, hangs her underwear from trees. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And we're back with Suburban Lifestyles. Bobby and Steve Dooley, my guests. They are the president and vice president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, which is a gated community, Ms. Dooley?
Yes, it is. So we're behind gates in Western Estates, California.
All right. These are rather big homes, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Phil. Our home is 6,500 square feet.
What is the starting price?
Well, we have homes that start anywhere from $600,000 and go all the way to $2.5 million.
So this is a fairly well-off place, huh?
It's we don't like to we're really not very materialistic here. We don't do that. We don't go there. We enjoy it. It's a very nice place to live. But really, it's not about the money. It's about the quality of life. And that's why, as much as we support the guys in Iraq, and we want them so very much to win that war, we really don't want to see those yellow ribbons, only because we have a Mediterranean theme. And as you know, Phil, that is primarily a pastel, kind of a pastel palette. And really, yellow doesn't go along, especially the yellow ribbons. And Steve made a very good point. Steve, do you want to make...
Yeah, Phil, I think the yellow ribbons looks like you're yellow, you're a coward.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm sorry, he thinks it looks like what?
Say it again, Steve.
A yellow ribbon makes it look like you're a coward.
I think that's interesting. Yellow ribbon, as in you're yellow, as in you're a coward. Let
me talk about the underwear that you're hanging up on the tree. And now I hear your dog in the background.
That's right. Beppy came home last night. Come on, Beppy. Come on, Beppy.
Is he out back?
Yeah, he's outside. You want to bring him in?
No, that's okay.
Go out and give him. Beppy. Oh, my baby. Beppy, do you want to sniff?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Can we just stick to the... And did I hear you say, do you want to sniff?
No, it was what brought him home, that's all. Really, what we're talking about, Phil, are apples and oranges. We support our troops, but I really think it's a little late for her to be tying ribbons for a son that's MIA. My husband said it very well last night as we were getting ready for bed. That boy is KIA, and there's a difference between KIA and MIA. What MIA...
I know what it means, missing in action, and KIA is killed in action.
Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, my husband says you're right.
Well, thank you very much. 1-800, what is wrong with that dog?
Nothing, Beppy. Give him some of the doggy bits. Give him the milk bone.
Beppy, you got a milk bone.
The dog's barking a lot.
He's a beagle, Phil, and they really howl. They really do. He missed us so much.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Kara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, dear.
The only comment that I wanted to make is she said that the yellow ribbons were out of season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to think that she lives rather a sheltered life. If you go to any of the malls, again, businesses, like my company, which I won't name, but they're an international
Kara, hold
company,
on for a minute. I can hear this
they
dog.
They have yellow ribbons decorating
hold on,
all
dear.
Of their businesses.
I can hear
all
this.
All of their manufacturing plants,
well, why
along
is it yellow?
With the American flag.
Why is it yellow, though? Doesn't
with
that stand for your yellow?
Right now, it is very seasonal decoration to have both yellow ribbons and the United States flag.
Well, here's the problem.
I don't know where she's living in, but the rest of the world, that's become a very common
what's wrong with that dog?
There's nothing wrong with my dog.
Well, he sounds like he's yelping.
Give him this to sniff.
What do you get? All right. I want to ask a question. What do you mean yellow ribbons means a coward?
I think the yellow... If you saw the movie Nevada Smith with Carl Malden and Steve McQueen, at the very end, Carl Malden calls Steve McQueen yella. You haven't got the guts. You see what I'm saying, Kara?
Yeah, but the yellow ribbon comes from a song by Don. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but tied a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Yeah, Don Henley.
What, Don? What's with the dog?
I'm sorry.
What is with the dog?
Put him in the dog run, will you, honey? Don Henley sang "Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree," but Tony Orlando and Don sang "Tie a Yellow Ribbon," and that's the difference between
the right, and that's the song that I'm talking about. And that's where the whole country has adopted a yellow ribbon to use as remembering when people are not around that we want to remember, like all of our troops, not just her son, who I pray is MIA, but all
have
of the troops over there.
Have you ever lost a dog?
Yes, ma'am, I have.
Yeah.
And I love animals. I have three dogs, three turtles right now.
Exactly, yeah. And you know that the way to attract a dog home is sometimes...
Actually, I use leg work. It works very well for me.
I'm sorry?
Leg work, you know, you get out, you knock on the doors, you ask people if they've seen your animal. That's how I find mine.
Steve, get my velour sweatpants and just let him get a nose. Do you ever use your underwear at all?
No, all right. I told you I used leg work. It took me about 5 hours, but I found Pongo.
Well, you know what?
Running back home.
I can tell you this much. Running around the neighborhood is one thing, but hanging three pairs of underwear, good, strong underwear.
I really don't want to talk about this.
I'm sorry?
My way was just as effective and probably far less offensive.
Well, I don't know what's offensive about it. I mean, if you stop and you stare and you go, oh, look, ooh, look,
ma'am,
underwear.
Ma'am, you don't understand why yellow ribbons are decorations that are seasonal either, so I'm not surprised that you don't understand why the underwear is offensive.
Well, I don't, and why, what do you mean, I don't get seasonal?
What's the holiday?
Have you traveled to any places outside your home? You'll find yellow ribbons are all across this country.
I understand that, but the thing is that because
I have traveled all across the country, especially
the big ego trip.
Vermont.
Well, I'm from California. We're a little more progressive.
Give
him my sweatpants.
That's one word for it.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Kara. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Rita. We're talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western States Homeowners Association, on the prohibition against yellow ribbons in their neighborhood. Go ahead, Rita.
Yeah, number one, when this lady, when you are saying, you're not listening to anything that's being said.
I'm here for you. I'm listening to
you.
You are a
hypocrite. For you and your husband are using your vice president and presidency of the association
to
do something that nobody else can do. It's all right for you to do something and not for them.
I don't understand.
Yellow ribbons are not seasonal. That's for any time of the year.
Well,
for anybody that's missing. Another thing, lady, you're jealous because your son died. I am sorry he is dead. I have lost a child, and I have lost a dog. This woman is also in pain because she's got a son that's gone. Maybe he's dead, maybe he's not.
Well, I think he's dead, and what I offered her was this.
What you think and what she thinks is two different things.
Oh, when is she going to move on and get the yellow ribbons down?
Oh, hold on a minute. Are you over your son's death?
My son
have
died.
Have you moved on?
There's a little bit.
I don't think so.
There's a little bit of a difference. A slut.
Please watch your language, Rita.
I'm sorry.
Give Beppy my tights from the spinning class. My son was killed by a drunk driver.
I understand that.
He was the drunk driver. But he was killed by a drunk driver.
Wait a minute. Your son was drunk driving the car.
Yes, but technically, he was killed by a drunk driver.
Yeah, himself.
And who had gotten the wrong lane, your son or the other driver?
Oh, no, he just drove it off of a cliff. He was with a girl. She came dressed like a, you know, she wasn't very attractive, and he started drinking.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Are you attractive?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Are you attractive, or is this in your own mind?
I like to think that I am. I know that I turn heads. But that's because I've been doing yoga for, 22 years now.
Oh, good. And you are really up there, aren't you? Because you're head of the association.
You know something? I'm sorry, Rita, if you live in a home that is less than 5,000 square feet.
Oh, don't even go there.
Now,
you have no idea.
This boy who's in Iraq, who's MIA, why is he missing? Okay.
Because he is fighting for your freedom, lady.
How does he get... How do I get free when he takes a wrong turn?
Fighting for your freedom.
Well, I don't understand how I get free by him taking a wrong turn over there. I think that...
He's missing in action, possibly. He was taken captive. He might have been killed. Who knows what happened to him?
Well, I'm just saying, if she wants to hang her yellow ribbons, she can do it outside of the gates. But me, I get to hang filthy underwear up, because that's the only way I get my dog back.
Right. That's because you are head of the association, and you're
take
taking
a sniff
advantage
of this, Beppy.
Of it.
That's it.
Take a sniff of what?
I'm just trying to calm him down.
Oh, my God.
I don't believe this.
Give Debbie my G-string instead of that rock.
You know something, Rita, I would say this. So you made a very good point. Would you get that dog calmed down, please?
Give him the G-string.
Forget the G-string.
Oh, Lan, I think this is ridiculous, bud.
I think this is...
it's ridiculous.
Lan, you've taught my wife to call a slut.
Whatever. Rita, I thank you very much for your call.
No. She's not going to get away. You're not going to insult me and then run away. No. She'll hang up when I tell her to.
No idea what running away or...
If I hear that dog bark one more time, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to your house and I'm killing somebody.
How dare you?
That's right.
Exactly, lady. How dare you? How dare you pick on this woman?
And then there was silence. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with comment. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That was me doing the voice of Bobby and Dooley, and I also do the voice of Steve Dooley, and the people that called believe Bobby and Steve to be real people, and that's how we do it here on The Phil Henry Show. I don't know about anybody else. On yesterday's show, Vernon Dozier was on. He's a high school teacher from Glendale, South Pasadena, California, who was telling his students that he didn't want them to watch the Dixie Chicks interview tonight because they're nothing but bar sluts and bar trash. And a caller took exception to that
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't think it's fair for you to call them dark bar sluts. Just because they don't agree with President Bush does not make them anti-American or whatever. And it's pushing it to call them bar sluts. They are just as patriotic as you are.
No, they're not.
They don't agree with President Bush. I don't agree with everything President Bush does. That doesn't make me an unpatriotic American.
Wait a minute. Did you agree with the war? Did you not?
You know what? No, I don't agree with the war.
Okay.
And my husband's
but
about
now,
to go.
Now you're jumping on the bandwagon and all happy that they won, though, aren't you? Yeah. Just like the Dixie. And I didn't call them sluts. I said they're bar.
I said they're
bar trash. And the reason why I say they're bar trash, because I've seen, God, every time I go into a bar and you see them there.
Are you married, sir?
No, sir, I'm not. I'm divorced.
I don't believe that I'm an unpatriotic American just because I don't agree with the war. And I don't believe this war was about winning or losing.
Okay.
It was about freeing a country and getting a... the chemical weapons that he had.
But you didn't agree with freeing that country. You didn't agree with freeing that country.
No,
until
I felt
free
that
the
they. I felt that they should free themselves like we did 200 years ago.
Oh yeah, real good. You haven't eaten in 3 months, but you're supposed to free yourself. You and the Dixie Chicks, ma'am.
You know what, sir?
Who's honking the horn?
I'm honking the horn at a guy that's he's looking at me.
Sir, don't
yes,
sit
ma'am.
There and call me an unpatriotic American.
Ma'am, you are.
My husband leaves for Iraq.
That's your husband.
Sir.
That's your husband. Your husband's patriotic. You, on the other
you don't
hand,
think
you're not.
That I don't support my husband 100%.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Because he's going to do a job.
No, you don't. And you know why? Because that's the cop-out that the Dixie Chicks are going to give Diane Sawyer. And every time I say that name, Dixie Chick, that's the cop-out. Oh, I support the troops. I don't support the war. That's a lie.
There's millions of Americans that don't support the war, but support the troops.
No, that's bullcrap.
There are millions
of
Americans.
How can you support the troops and not support their work? You know what, Becky? Why don't you
phone... Because there's half of the troops that don't agree with why they're going over there.
No, that is a lie. That's another lie.
No, it is not.
Now, how do you know they're not allowed to express their political opinions, ma'am? They're supposed to do what the commander-in-chief tells them to do. And you know what, Becky? Why don't you just phone Jacques Chirac and go to a Dixie Chick concert, as long as you feel that way?
Sir, that is bull, because...
Who's honking the horn?
There's a guy that won't get out of my way.
Sir.
Yes, ma'am.
There are millions of Americans that feel that way. There are lots of the troops that feel that way.
No, ma'am.
But they have a job to do, and so they are doing it.
Ma'am,
And just because you don't believe in war does not make you a patriotic American.
You don't love your country because you won't fight for it. That's as far as I can tell.
I wouldn't fight for my country if somebody was personally attacking our country?
They just did on 9/11. Okay. What were you doing, Becky? Making another crueler?
That wasn't
What'd you
Iraq.
Call 9/11?
That wasn't Iraq.
Get out of the way!
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold!
He's a metal case. He's our favorite metal case. He's wrapped tighter than a possum's ass over a drum head. He is Vernon Dozier. And you can hear more of Vernon on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenrieshow.com. Guy's a high school teacher. He is wrapped tight, man. That guy's about ready to explode, leaning on the horn. Do you ever get a horn stuck? Pretty cool. I leaned on the horn one day. I was on the Pasadena freeway. I was getting off the freeway. I leaned on the horn. It stuck. I'm so angry. I get out of my truck. I flip open the hood. I can't find the wires, but I can find the horn. Somehow the wires were run back behind the firewall. I just took this freaking thing and tore it right out of the engine. I mean, just tore it out of there. All right. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Plenty to talk about on our show today. We'll have some comments about the Dixie Girls. Madonna has opened her big fat mouth again. Polygamists are upset. I don't know what about. You figure if anybody's got a great life, they do. The Shiites, they're all full of crap. SARS, what's killing us now? Creed, the band from Orlando, got on stage the other night, and I guess the guy was too drunk to sing, so they're being sued for sucking and blowing and blowing and sucking. I think it's great. They're being sued. Creed is being sued because they blew. And finally, more Iraq antiquities on our radio show this evening. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show website, philhenrieshow, is where we archive all of our audio, and it's all the best radio comedy you're going to hear, and that's guaranteed. Pick up a backstage pass, $6.95 a month. It's stuff that's timeless. It's going to go down in history long after we're gone, long after we're dead. People will say, wow, that show was pretty cool. I was busy tuning into Ollie North to see what he was up to, huh? I was too busy listening to G. Gordon Liddy to find out what bits Phil was doing, and G. Gordon didn't understand he was doing them. Anyway, you get the drift. So go to our website, also our souvenir shop, where we have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the official Phil Henry Show t-shirt. We have a Western Estates Homeowners Association Country Club polo shirt, and now the new Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. If ever there was a great gift for mom on Mother's Day, it's the spa robe. You got to get that. And we got great Father's Day gifts, too. I would suggest a Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass or a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Gifts for everybody. The spa robe would look solid on the old man, too. Go to our website and our souvenir shop. It's the only place you need to go to shop for Mother and Father's Day for the Phil Henry fan in your house. That's philhenryshow.com, philhenrieshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry,
1-800-449-8686. Coming up, we got a SARS update for you. Man, they can't get enough of that SARS. And all over the world, people are panicking. And they're actually saying now on some of the news channels, things like this. We are going to interview someone who had SARS and lived. Well, I hate to break the news. I know it's going to disappoint a lot of people. Most people who get SARS live. Unlike AIDS, which is another disease that some brain surgeon doctor is now comparing SARS to. This could potentially be worse than AIDS. Nothing like selling a book, huh, Doc? We'll also have news about the band Creed. They're getting sued. Why? Because they suck. Also, some stuff about Iraq antiquities, the Shiites, polygamists. They're complaining. What do they got to complain about? Polygamists. Madonna has opened her ugly mouth, but first we do want to talk about the Dixie Babes. They're going to be on tonight with Diane Sawyer, and they're defiant. They're saying, hey, I got a right, and all the people are just, they're dumping all over us, and oh my God, you'd think that these women were laying in a dungeon someplace in South America. Hey, let me just clue you in on something, ladies. Artists in like South America or Iran, they're laying in a pool of their own urine right now in a dungeon someplace. That's what happens to artists who really suffer politically in this world. Artists, and they're all over the world, are suffering right now politically because of their art and because of their public statements. They lay in dungeons in pools of their own urine. They're not on stage in London and getting some emails. And what they're going to say tonight, now, the Dixie babes, which, let's be clear, she had a right to say what she said. Yes, who said she didn't? Here's what I don't dig, man. Guys like Robbins, and guess who else has weighed in now? Springsteen. When he isn't lighting his own farts, he's actually saying things like, hey, that's not right. You know, one minute he's rolled up in a ball lighting a fart, and then he sees something on the news and he gives a public statement about it. And Springsteen, see, here's what's happened to artists in America. The ones in Iran, the ones in South America, the ones in Sri Lanka, they all lay in dungeons hanging by their thumbs. In America, they think that if they get criticized, that it's the most horrific, horrendous form of McCarthyism and fascism that has ever been visited upon the collective peoples of the earth. They honestly do. They really do. Now, here's the latest that we got from the Dixie Babes, and we'll hear them tonight. One of them said, her property was trashed. That's not cool. I agree. What you need to do is take the proper measures so people don't know where you live. Now, I don't know about the Dixie Girls, but a lot of country artists are very friendly people. And they don't seem to have a problem, some of them, letting fans know where they live. Honest to God, I mean, I've never heard of anything in any other form of entertainment, but country artists get calls at their house from fans. And a lot of times they'll, hey, you want to come to the house for a beer? I mean, seriously. I'm not saying the Dixie chicks do, but it's possible that, you know, their address got out, so your property should not be trashed. I understand that. Try doing a talk show. What are you guys, are you kidding me? Then they said they got death threats. I get death threats every year. I get death threats. I've been in radio 30 years. They haven't been a year gone by. Probably haven't got a month gone by that I don't get a death threat. Join the club. It's what happens when you open your mouth publicly and you speak out about controversial things. You get death threats. And they're acting like they're shocked. They're acting like it's never happened to them before. Some people might have heard your first album and wanted to call in a death threat. How do we know? In fact, if I hear this latest album, I may call in a death threat. I'm joking. Not everybody's going to dig what you have to say. It's just, it's unfortunate. I understand. And you're going to have to also get used to this. If you're going to get involved in the arena of commenting in a medium other than your music, which is what you do best, commenting through your music, then you may be kind of clumsy about it and you might actually piss some people off. Be prepared to get death threats and to have people, if they know where you live, trash your house, which is what happened to one of them. They didn't trash her house. They crapped on her driveway. I don't know what they did. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? I'm really trying. People need to understand this. Nobody's saying they can't say what they have to say. It's just people have a right to their feelings, too, not just the Dixie Girls. People have a right to be angry at what they said. You know, artists, especially American artists, who really have never known any true deprivation. American artists have never had to fight for anything other than their own ego aggrandizement, other than their own careers. They've never had to fight for anything. And so as a result, they stand in front of a crowd of people who may be hostile, because if I heard this Natalie Maine say it once, she said it a billion, trillion, gazillion times, wow, we were in Europe and it was really anti-American. So naturally, what's the first thing that pops into their minds? Well, we don't want anybody to be pissed at us. So they get on stage and they say something that is a pandering remark. You know what I mean by pander? When you pander, you just say something to sort of mitigate the ill feeling. You may not believe it. She didn't say that because she really needed to say it. She said it because she wanted to get everybody on her side. She was pandering. But what happens? They get on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. This is what passes for courageous political insight in the artistic community. The Dixie Babes getting on stage and saying George Bush is a load of old bullcrap. Big deal. And then Springsteen comes out and says, hey, nobody has the right to say that. Hey, Bruce, man, am I wrong, or didn't you involve yourself in a boycott of Sun City back in the mid-'80s? That was an economic boycott. You didn't want to play Sun City, South Africa because of apartheid. It was a political statement that was expressed through boycott. Now you're saying that people shouldn't be boycotting Dixie Chicks? Look, I ain't boycotting the Dixie Chicks, but then I never bought one of their albums in the first place. Although having seen what they look like and heard them on TV, I just might. As I said before, I like the little short, fat one. She's fantastic. I just don't want to hear him talk, you know. I'm like a lot of guys. I want to look, but I don't want to hear him talk. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding in there, Janice. She's looking at me like I'm the second coming of, you know. Oops, excuse me. Pardon me. So, look, girls, go out, make a lot of money. Nobody is hurting them. They haven't lost any album sales. They're number one on the Billboard country charts this week. They have been for 19 weeks. Their music is coming back on the country stations. You didn't honestly think for one second that there was one single solitary program director or general manager in the broadcast business in America that actually had the pair to keep your music off the air for good? You didn't think that that exists in America, did you? To find that kind of political awareness and courageousness, you have to go to Europe or Asia. It doesn't happen here. There's no programmers of country stations that are keep the Dixie Chicks off the air. You guys make money and you get listeners. So every now and again, you'll pardon if there's a bump in the road. Every now and again, you'll pardon if you say something and a few people get pissed. Jesus, and now they're going to be on Diane Sawyer tonight. Oh, man. Now, by the way, Entertainment Weekly's got them nude on the cover this week. Let it be known far and wide, we were the first ones to suggest they pose nude for Playboy. And we still can't get Heffron to call us back on that one. But anyway, isn't that right, bud? Didn't you want the finder's fee?
He owes me 10% of the gazillion to billion dollars.
Yeah. Yeah, Heffron really needed you to find that out for him. And also, I'd like to tell you guys in a couple of minutes about my new car. And when I say new car, it's only about a year old. But maybe I ought to talk about it now. I want to talk about it now. Kind of tough to shift gears between the Dixie Babes, but, you know. I have a great new car. It's about a year old. I say great. I put that in quotes. And it was a car that I bought after my wife insisted that I buy it. She said, Phil, you know, you've attained a little bit of success in life. Get your car. I said, nah, I don't want to spend the money, you know. I have driven, up until the time I bought my car last year, I drove a Ford Ranger truck. Honest to God, that was my car. A Ford Ranger truck. And occasionally I drove my wife's car, and she's got an SUV. That's what I drove to work. I was totally happy. It was a 5-speed stick. It was my car. And before that, I had a broken-down, beat-up Chevy Blazer that I'd had for 11 years. Those are the two cars I've had for the last, 11, 15 years, until I bought this car last year. So I got the car. I said, well, come on, get the car. All right. I bought it. It's great. I mean, it looks nice. There's only a problem with it is the fact that every now and again, I have to take it in to get it fixed. And, all my life I drove garbage cans. I finally bought this car, and I got to take it in every now and get it fixed. And so I thought what would be fun is later on tonight, based upon my experience with this car that my wife insisted that I buy, I go out here to Chantry Flats, put a brick on the accelerator, and drive it off a cliff into a cement gully until it explodes and burns. That's how much I like this new car. And you know what? It's a name. It's a name brand you guys would know, and many of you might even want to own one, okay? What if I said it's one of these three? Do you think I'd get in trouble? Say three brands? It's one of these three. It's one of these four, all right? It's one of these four. Lincoln, Lexus, Mercedes, Jaguar. Okay, it's one of those four. I won't say which one I own, but I went out and I bought it, and I wish to God I never had. And I'm going to, this weekend, I've always wanted to take a big cement mason block and lay it on an accelerator and just watch the car. And then, like, just out of the Fall Guy, just see that, you know, that slow motion airborne shot of the car. Maybe the door open because a guy dove out at the last minute. And then just smile and wave bye-bye as it blows up. And I'll go back to Ford Ranger. Thank you very much. Because I don't have to impress women anymore. I got a wife, so, well, you know, if we want to drive in a nice car, I'll drive hers. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Got some good news. I don't know what kind of good news it is, but there are some celebrations breaking out across, just so you know, breaking out across L.A. and in a couple of American cities. Bob Bakian is up in our news chopper. Bob, how you doing? Bob, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. We are up in Chopper 8, Phil, right now over downtown Los Angeles, swinging out of the west side. And people are in spontaneous celebration right now. I can see people coming out of their houses, literally dancing arm in arm across this beautiful city of ours. I'm getting similar reports in New York, as well as in London and Dublin, because the news has just been reported that Sinead O'Connor has retired from the music business. And, of course, the happiness and the joy and just the sheer ecstasy that brings to people is happening. I had a chance to interview a few people about how they felt.
You know, real good, and I hope she never comes back.
I love all music except hers. She's obnoxious, and she's boring more than anything else with her bald head and her stupid take on the Pope.
Sinead O'Connor? Yeah, I never liked her. And she's retiring? Thank you, sweet Jesus.
So there you have it, Phil. Just comments from people. And right now, police are trying to hold back a crowd of individuals who just want to dance in the streets over the news that Sinead O'Connor has announced that she'll never make another record again. It's a great, great day, and some days the news is better than others, Phil, and today's one of those days.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Bob Bakian, Phil Henry Show, booth!
All right. So Sinead O'Connor is, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, I was hoping for that. I knew there was going to be some information about it. Well, we can all, some days, you know, it's just good news. You know, SARS, we've got the Iraq War, we have the horror of bombing, we have the horror of tortures and Amnesty International and everything that's going on in the world. But every now and again, you know, just a nice little ray of sunshine breaks through. Sinead O'Connor's calling it quits. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You don't know who she is? Count yourself among the lucky ones. Count yourself among the many, many of us who are lucky today. All right, SARS. Anybody dead yet? Hello, everybody. This is Phil Henry, and this is our SARS Is Anybody Dead Yet update. Well, a Minneapolis-bound flight held at San Francisco because of a sick passenger. Oh, my God, someone had a fever. Yes, the panic cannot stop. People across the country are just choking and gasping for air that SARS may get them, even though they got the sniffles and a little bit of a prostate pain. A Northwest Airlines flight bound for Minneapolis-St. Paul was being held at San Francisco's airport Thursday afternoon because a passenger was exhibiting some symptoms of SARS, according to an airport spokesman. The unidentified man in his 50s was being evaluated by the U.S. Public Health Service, according to spokesman Mike McCarron, who called the move precautionary. He said he did not have details of the man's symptoms or where he's from. So as far as where he's concerned, we just have to take his word for it. Is that it? Well, that's what I call some fantastic news there. SanFranciscoGate.com. You jackballs. The other 170 passengers on Flight 360 were being held on the plane, said Mary Stink. That's her name, I swear to God. It's her name. I'm not kidding. Mary Stink, a spokeswoman for the airline based in the Twin Cities. The flight did return to the gate with possible health situation concerning a passenger. So what are the symptoms of SARS? Aches and pains, a fever over 100.4, general feeling of disquiet and uneasiness. In other words, any flu, any cold. And that's probably, and I say probably, because I got money that says this guy ain't got SARS. What do you think of that? I got dough. Money on it, the guy ain't got SARS. Somebody went ape at the gate. Someone getting on the plane whispered to a ticket agent, and they took the guy off. Now, I'm not saying don't do anything about it. Somebody's going to have to get control of this situation, though. It's nuts. Look, at first of all, the people that are dead in Canada, didn't you hear me yesterday? They were 86 years old. If you look at the world map of the whole SARS deal, it's all in Singapore, Hong Kong, and China. Okay? They've had 100-some-odd deaths in Singapore and Hong Kong. They've had 10% fatality in Canada, and I don't know what the hell that translates to. I think that's 4. Nobody has died from it in the United States, and we've had, I think, 39 probable cases. Speed of transmission revives memories of historic deadly epidemic. What do they mean, deadly? See, in other words, people die from flu, too. You know that, don't you? Influenza, you ever heard of it? People die from it. The elderly, the physically infirmed, people whose immune systems can't handle it. Yes, they die. Tragically, they die. Younger people, people with stronger constitutions, they survive. It's a tough deal. But you'd think that this was the second coming of the bubonic plague, man. You'd think, see, here's the deal. Everybody's looking for the next biblical plague. It's getting late. It's getting a little late now. It's 2003. It'll be 2004 before you know it, and still no end of the world. All those people that buried themselves in bunkers, all those Amy Semple McPherson wannabes, everybody running around with the sterling silver cross, somebody with the patent leather shoes, and they're standing there going, repent, repent, or whatever their bull crap is this week. It's getting on. We need that biblical plague, man. AIDS didn't do it, did it? Yeah, man, they thought they had that one. And now, oh my God, they actually have drugs that prolong the lives of AIDS patients. Now here comes SARS. And Shepard Smith, with his mascara running yet again today, was all in a snit over the whole thing. I think that somebody needs to take a chill. Some of them cats need a hobby. So anyway, Bob, what was that great news again?
Sinead O'Connor is retired.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The band Creed is being sued by 4 fans who want their money back after a disappointing Creed show in Chicago in December. The lawsuit filed in the Cook County Circuit Court in Illinois charges that during the December 29th show at the Allstate Arena, singer Scott Stapp was so intoxicated and or medicated that he was unable to sing the lyrics of a single Creed song. The fans are asking for reimbursement of their ticket charges of $56.75 each, plus parking charges, according to the Chicago Sun-Times. Well, gotta cough up, boys. You know what? You schlep all the way down there. You expect to at least see the guy sing his songs, don't you? Or do you expect to see him just absolutely rat-assed on smack? I would think especially if you like Stone Temple Pilots or a band like that, it would be half the fun to see Scott Weiland or whatever the hell his name is crawl out there in a heroin haze. I think that would be great. So I would expect that, but not out of Creed. Now, Bob Dylan if this suit goes through, Dylan owes me millions. Millions! If this suit, what are they suing for? They want to get their money back? If this suit goes through, Bob Dylan owes me millions, because I'm going to tell you something right now. I love that cat's music, but he sucks in concert. There's no worse act that I've ever seen on a stage than Bob Dylan. His band stinks. He can't sing. The sound system that he uses is always the worst. It's just everything. And I saw him once, a show that should have been good. It was with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers down at Irvine Amphitheater. Oh, my God, was it bad. It was horrible. The Heartbreakers were good because they did their own set. As soon as Dylan got his ass out of there and got his backup singers and just went back to his bus and, started getting his blood recycled or whatever he does, went back there and put, rubbed the makeup off or whatever the hell he does, and then Tom Petty came out, it was good. Aerosmith, do you know how much money they owe their fans? Well, it could get into the billions. When they were still using drugs, and even after they got sober, for a while, horrible. I mean, from my own experience. Jethro Tull, just for the record, owes me for that Thousand Oaks show. Just for the record, they owe me for that Thousand Oaks show. That was the worst. And I'm going to say this, too, because I guess I just wasn't a deadhead. But the two Grateful Dead shows I went to, not only do I want my money back, but I want my money back for any album that I bought that any one of their personnel was playing on. That's what I want. And I also want my money back for that Bruce Springsteen show I saw at the sports arena that night. The sound system in there, the sports arena in downtown Los Angeles, for those of you who've never been, and thank your lucky stars you've never been there, because it's a big cement toilet that sits in Exhibition Park in Los Angeles. It's where the Lakers used to play. It was the original sports arena in Los Angeles. They had the Democratic National Convention there. And they had the Olympic boxing there. It's horrible. I mean, for a concert, you can go see sports there. Whoever said you could put these bands in these joints? Hey, does the LA Philharmonic play at the downtown, Legionnaires Hall? What the hell are you going to put a band in there for? And now Nina Simone will play the Pan Pacific Auditorium. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to bring out one of the world's great tenors, Mr. Robert Merrill, playing the Tri-County Lettuce Belt, Truckatorium. Yeah, okay, so let's see. They owe me money. Dylan owes me money. Aerosmith owes me money. Grateful Dead owes me money. Springsteen owes me money for that lousy show. And Jimmy Buffett owes me money for the time I saw him at the High Life Fronton in Orlando. Boy, did that suck. And also, Cheap Trick owes me money because I went to see AC/DC and Cheap Trick was the opening act, and that wasted a good 45 minutes of my life watching them, including that guy with the ball cap. They blow. So there you go. I like that. Now, you guys could sue me, but then you ain't paying Jack to listen to this. On to other music news. Madonna has made the following statement. One of musical's richest performers, she's attacked her fellow Americans for being obsessed with the wrong values, such as getting rich and looking good. Madonna told the Radio Times that Americans had opportunities people in other countries did not have, but got caught up in superficial dreams. We as Americans are completely obsessed and wrapped up in a lot of the wrong values. Looking good, having cash in the bank, being perceived as rich, famous, and successful, or just being famous. It's the most superficial part of the American dream, and who would know better than me? The only thing that's going to bring you happiness is love and how you treat your fellow man and having compassion for one another, she said, as she tried to make herself look better. Boy, you talk about ugly. Well, I don't want to get into it. Hey, Madonna, you know what? Some of us would like to find out for ourselves, okay? You found out that it's superficial, that being rich and famous and all that crap. Would you mind if I just sort of look into the matter myself without taking your word for it? The interview coincided with the release of this week's Madonna's latest album, Bullcrap. The album, her first in 3 years, received poor reviews because the music is unlistenable, and many critics asked, would she just please follow Sinead O'Connor's lead and retire? Not that she looks bad nude, but Madonna hasn't made a nude shot in years, especially after she married that overrated husband of hers, Guy Ritchie. American Life comes hard on the heels of the biggest flop of her career as a movie actress, Swept Away, and man, she's had many. Look, I like Madonna, but she's getting a little embarrassing now. I like her. Just go away. Just go away. Just let us find out for ourselves about rich, being rich and how bad it is. And being famous. Yeah, I know. You've been there, right? Well, we're going to be there, too. If we can't be famous, at least we want to be rich. The critics have been writing me off for 20 years. That's nothing new. As far as I know, I still have plenty of fans and sell lots of records. Do I care what critics say about me? No. And I don't read reviews, she said, as she put down the review of Swept Away. Yeah, she didn't notice that movie was so bad, it got yanked out of the theater before one poor street person could get up enough coins to go in and watch it because it was paid to by some marketing company. She didn't notice that at all. Just let me find out about being rich. How come this is news, too, by the way? That's like the last one I heard about Jack Nicholson says sex is overrated. Why does that get printed? You mind, Jack, if we, you know, maybe have a different opinion? Madonna slams American values. Phil Henry says she's full of crap. Well, you must be some kind of a Nazi, Henry, for disagreeing with her. And she's on Will and Grace tonight. That's why I'm talking about this. And I guess she's on Will and Grace what? She needs the money? Okay. Madonna broke, needs to do Will and Grace on tonight. Don't miss it. She's going to be on because she wants to show yet again that she's friendly to gay audiences. We know already. We know! Hi, I'm Madonna, and, you know, being gay is kind of cool. Oh, Jesus, we get it. Madonna, widely accepted and loved in the gay community, will be on Will and Grace tonight. Anyway, she's going to be on Will and Grace, and she's going to be playing, what is it, Janice? Oh, she's going to be playing a prostitute who tries to turn Will. No, she's going to be playing Karen's roommate, and they get into kind of a funny lesbian scene, and their pants come off. It's just a wild time tonight on Will and Grace. It'll just be great. Madonna, whose husband Guy Ritchie couldn't sell ice cubes to a freaking, to a dying man of thirst in the desert. What did I just say? I don't know. We'll be on Will and Grace tonight to try to get a couple of bucks in the coffers for that family. Madonna, whose husband Guy Ritchie can't make a home movie, let alone anything else on celluloid, needs to get a couple of dollars back into the house there. Remember when that guy was all the rage, Guy Ritchie? He's making this movie, and oh, you ought to see that. And everything that guy ever made, I couldn't stand it. Except maybe that Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, because it was sort of funny in parts. But the rest of it is no good. And I understand he's into karate and stuff, so he may want to beat me up. I'll kick his ass. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Fight Club sucked, too. Don't tell me that was cool. That sucked. You want to know why I think it sucks? Because my kids like it. All right, especially my 11-year-old daughter. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with more on the Iraq situation and the Shiites. They're a lot of fun. And other stuff on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Here's a poll. U.S. worries less about terrorism. Americans are less worried about being victims of a terrorist attack than at any time since September the 11th. You want to know why? Because we went to war against Iraq, a terror-sponsoring regime. Say what you want about that war. You can't ignore it. You can't, you can say anything you want. Dixie chicks or no Dixie chicks. It was a great thing, and people feel much safer, including that guy that sent me the email that said he didn't. Yeah, right, pal. Sure. And what's that? We didn't find any weapons of mass destruction? Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care. I don't care. We went after a terrorist sponsoring regime. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Oh, well, then you think that just going around the United Nations is, you know what? Open your eyes, booby. They weren't doing anything. Nothing. That was a game we weren't going to play. Don't you understand? You see, in life, sometimes people will sucker you into the game. You know what I'm saying? Some guys are throwing dice. They got some 20s laid out on the floor. Hey, you ever throw any dice before? Next thing you know, you're walking out of there wearing a barrel. You got no money. You just don't play the game. We're not going to get involved in France's game to make sure that the UN is preeminent and that the French and the Russians and the Germans are calling the shots. No, 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 no. This is America. We had 3,000 people murdered. We had to do something about it. We did it, whether you like it or whether you don't. And let me say it again. Weapons of mass destruction, I don't care. And if anybody else wants to send me pictures of dead kids, be my guest, because I know the anti-war movement in this country and internationally loved dead kids. They love to see pictures of dead kids, because with every picture of a dead kid, they feel better about themselves. They can look in the mirror and say, boy, aren't I just morally superior to everybody else? They love it. And they love to see looting, and they love to see mayhem, because it proves they think their point. So go ahead, keep sending me the pictures. I don't care. I love them. I post them on the wall. You know what I put underneath it? Saddam did this. Every one of those kids, Saddam Hussein murdered. That's right. And if you think that they have it bad now, just how many of them do you think had to be fed into a meat grinder under Saddam until one of these people cared about him then? These anti-war people and the guy that sent me that email and everybody else in between, I never heard them say one thing about the children of Iraq suffering at the hands of Saddam Hussein. Now, all of a sudden, the Dixie Chicks and Bruce Springsteen and everybody is just worried about the Iraqi children. Where were you, Bruce, when Saddam was killing a man? You weren't going to sing about, you were singing about Sun City, how you weren't going to play there no more. That's what you were doing. I guess the Dixie Chicks are counting their money. Yeah, everybody's fat and happy. But let me just tell you, Americans do feel safer. 58%, by the way, say the war in Iraq has made the United States safer. That's up from 51%. 80% approve of the way the United States has handled Iraq since combat ended. Despite widespread disorder and looting, that happens to be the norm when a war ends. I don't know if anybody told you. It just happens to be the sad reality. Yeah, well, if we hadn't have fought that war, it wouldn't have happened. You know, you're right, it wouldn't have happened. Saddam could have gone on very happily robbing from his people and murdering them. You're right. That's right. Gee, the big bad United States. Who are you guys kidding, anyway? Seriously. Just tape record it and listen to it. Few Americans are in a rush to get U.S. troops out. Now listen to this one. Few Americans are in a rush to get U.S. troops out. 3/4 would be willing for them to stay a year to establish a democratic government. I'm with that. When I listen to people say the American people were not listened to when it came to the war, who are they talking about? You mean they weren't listened to? 3/4 of the American people supported this war. Whether you like it or whether you don't, that's the facts. 3/4 of the American people supported this war with Iraq. Now, that's a whole lot of folks. That ain't just Republicans. That's some Democrats, too. Like me. And you can say the American people weren't heard, and you can say that the people of the world weren't listened to. The people of the world, who cares about them? They can take their world and they can park it. We know what the Europeans did to their part of the world. Why don't you guys just clam it up for a while? 2/3 say the war is not over, and 73% believe Saddam Hussein is alive. I don't care. Disagreeing with Bush, most prefer that the United Nations, not the United States, take the lead in overseeing the transition and providing humanitarian assistance. I would too, but the United Nations still wants to play politics. They still want to keep the sanctions in place. They still want to have some control. They still, not because they care about the Iraqi people, because they want to prove a point to the United States. That's all they want to do. Bush's overall job approval is steady at 70%. Americans are split 50-48 over whether he's in touch with the problems of ordinary people, and Americans are split 50-50 over whether he's in touch with reality. For 53%, the economy will be more important than national security when they vote in 2004. That's kind of interesting, too. That national security and the economy almost split it right down the middle as to the American priority. All right, now what happened to the antiquities that got looted from the Iraqi National Museum? People say that they got stolen by looters and that the, you know, the military should have done something about it. You're right, the military should have done something about it. Unfortunately, we didn't. Unfortunately, we didn't get in there in time, and we were not able to save much of the looted art. And, of course, I guess I shouldn't ask this question, should I? Well, I'll go ahead and ask it anyway, even though it'll make me a fascist. Do you think maybe Saddam, knowing that his town was about to get bombed, maybe he wanted to put that stuff in safekeeping? Or didn't he give a crap? I guess he didn't care, huh? Knowing that that was the national treasure of the Iraqi people, caring so deeply for them? See, I love people who say two things. They say this: I support the troops, but I'm against the war, and Saddam Hussein's a butcher. I don't like him, but... You see, who are you kidding again? If you support the troops, then you support their work. If you don't support their work, you do not support the troops. Get that one through your head. And number two, I don't like Saddam Hussein, but is no argument. What do you mean you don't like Saddam Hussein, but? What do you mean he's a butcher and a dictator and he murders people, but? What about your butt? We're not interested in your butt. God. Get it out of our face. 1-800-449-868. Hey, look at this. It's that Senator Rick Santorum on TV. Boy, that guy. Count your blessings, baby, because it's about to all come to a crashing end for you. That's the guy that said gays and everything were sick and all, you know. He's another stupid, stupid, stupid Republican senator who's about to get his ass handed to him. Nice going, Rick. About ready to go back to the body shop business there, that carpeting store your dad owns, huh? Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm joined by Steve Bozell. He's the president of a group called Parents of Gay and Lesbian Teenagers. And how did this organization come about, Mr. Bozell?
Well, we had had suspected that our own daughter, April, my wife and I have been married for 19 years. We have a daughter who is 15. And we had long suspected that perhaps she had an orientation, lesbian orientation, or having some gender question. And I will tell you now, I fully accept my daughter being a lesbian, if that's what she chooses to do. So our group basically came about to try to help understand teenagers who may be struggling with gender issues. And we feel it's important also to teach teenagers at that time not to flaunt their gender orientation, because it can and will hurt your family.
Now, I wanted to ask you, because you're looking at suing some member of your family. Is that correct?
Well, it's never been done before, and I don't know if I will go through with it, but at this point, I don't know what else I can do.
All right. Is it your daughter that you want to sue?
Again, I've gotten some advice.
This is the daughter that you suspect is lesbian?
Yes, sir.
All right. What happened that makes you want to sue your own daughter, even though you're somebody who understands? Is this got to do with sexuality?
No, sir, it does not. No, sir, it does not. What it has to do with is her flaunting her sexuality, which can embarrass me and can embarrass members of her family.
Tell me what happened and how this came about.
Basically, we have a company picnic, and the families of my crew and staff get together, and we go over to right over here at Frank Bunnell Park. They got a picnic area and some ball fields and everything. And we got a couple of teams together comprised of the kids versus the dads. That's a softball game that we'll have on the company picnic. And I was pitching for the dads, as I always do. I also pitch for our company softball team. Right now we're 17-3 in the Inland Empire League. So it was dads versus kids. And I can tell you, it was a very close game. My daughter come up to bat. And,
now, this is your daughter who is a lesbian.
Yes, sir, that is true. the score was 10-8, so we had a two-run lead. My daughter come up to bat, and I can tell you, and I've talked about this at our meetings, nothing prepares the parent of a gay or lesbian teenager for the realization that they'll go flamboyant on you at any moment, and they'll try to shove their gayness right up into your face. And this is what I try to talk to the people about at the meetings. And
well, when you say your daughter, did your daughter go flamboyant on you, as you say?
Yes, sir. Well, what happened was, my wife looked at me, I looked at her, and without any regard for her mother, without any regard for her brother, myself, or anyone, she hit a home run off me, and I'm her father. And she hit it hit Peck Road, and they found a ball near a security fence at Logan Utilities, and I'm her father, and I was in front of my whole staff and everyone that worked for me, and she might as well have just said, "Hi, everybody, I'm a dyke," for what she did to me that day. And
I think I'm like a lot of listeners. I don't understand what she did. Your daughter is a lesbian. She's 15, right?
Yes, sir.
And she smacked a home run off of you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. To you, that's flamboyance?
Anybody you want to talk to in the gay community or in the lesbian areas will tell you that they are softball players and so on, and they can hit the hell out of a baseball with other girls, but I'm a guy, and I'm also her father, and to go flamboyant on me right there in front of everyone, I found it to be...
So you feel that by her hitting the home run off of you, she was doing what?
Well, she was outing herself, and that's the other thing, and maybe she was making a pass at some of the staff's wives, and I'd rather she keep that between herself and her lesbian friends. That's the thing also, is to make a straight person join in.
And look, I just want to be clear. Your daughter, she wasn't going around saying she was a lesbian. You think that she was outing herself by hitting the home run?
Well, she's not saying she's a lesbian, but she hit the home run off me. Yes, I do. And I have not given up a home run to anyone this season. On top of that, it was a three-run homer, and we lost the game, and she's a girl and I'm a guy. And if you don't think that screams lesbian, I don't know what does, mister. I'll feel sorry for it if you don't.
Look, another question I would have to ask you then, and we're talking with Stephen Bozell. He is the president of a group called Parents of Gay and Lesbian Teenagers, and you sit with other parents of gay and lesbian teenagers and talk about the different problems.
Yes, sir. We have talk about gender issues and talk about what's good for a teenager, for a gay or lesbian teenager, yeah.
And you join, and you formed this organization because your daughter's a lesbian.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things you tell them is not to be flamboyant.
We don't think that teenagers should go flamboyant on you, yeah.
And your daughter hitting a home run off of you in a softball game screams dyke, in your words.
I don't mean to use that term. It's very derogatory, sir. What about...
No, I know, I understand, but it screams...
She basically outed herself, yeah.
She outed herself.
Yeah, and in the process made me look bad.
You got a lot going on there. You got a lot. You understand that?
Yes, I do. And I also realize that she's my daughter, and I love her very much.
Well, why would you sue her?
I need to get through to her that what she did hurt herself and hurt me. What she
did was she hit a home run off of you in a softball game, and in your opinion, that says I'm an out lesbian.
Well, yeah, that's now she's out. She could easily hit a little ground ball or whatever. See, you have to understand.
See, I'm not familiar, but you're telling me that playing softball good means you're a lesbian.
Playing softball good doesn't necessarily mean you're a lesbian. Playing softball good and hitting a man, and I'm one of the top pitchers in the Inland Empire League, and she took me downtown. Okay, and that was on a 3-0 count? That's the part that I feel was very unfair. It was a 3-0 count. She could have taken at least one pitch, but she didn't take it. Okay?
All right.
And so it was a 3-0 count. She could have taken one pitch. She didn't. She wanted to make me look bad. She took it, like I said, it hit Peck Road. By the time they found it, it was probably about 500 feet away. It had bounced down the street. And she does that in front of everybody with her mother and me there. See, when a girl hits a ball for a home run off of a man, she is a lesbian, and she is telling everybody, "I'm a lesbian," and I think it's too early for her to be outing herself. And also, she embarrassed me
by hitting a home run off of you.
That is correct, sir.
Because you say you're one of the top pitchers in the Inland Empire League.
Yes, sir. That is correct. She was outing herself and maybe making a pass at some of the wives, like I say.
Well, you see, this making a pass at the wives, I don't know anything about. I want to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell, who is very upset that his lesbian daughter hit a home run at a company picnic off of a ball pitched by him. He says that that obviously tells everyone she's a lesbian, so she's outed herself. Isn't that her right to out herself?
Not at that age, no, sir.
Not at that age.
I don't think any. I think that being a gay boy or a lesbian girl, I think you need to tell your parents and work through the issues, but don't go running around the neighborhood telling everybody that that's what you is. And we have always tried to.
Has your daughter come out? Has she actually come out?
We have tried to make it as comfortable for her as possible. We pretty much know she's a lesbian.
So she has not said, "Mom, Dad, I'm a lesbian."
Well, I mean, she doesn't have to. It's so obvious.
Well, what's obvious about it?
Well, I mean, she doesn't wear dresses. She rides horses. She plays all kinds of sports with other gals. The whole thing about horses is also lesbian. It's really only a sport the lesbians are into is the horseback riding, I should say. And you got to understand, she hit a 3-run dinger that won the game off of me, her father. So nobody would know she's a lesbian if she'd laid down a bunt.
Well, I mean, what we're talking about now is the difference between a home run means she's screaming she's a dyke, she lays down a bunt, what? She's Shirley Temple?
You know what, sir?
Look, I know you're upset. But you call this...
I stood there embarrassed because now, with that ball sailing out of the park, as I watched that ball leave the park, I watched my dignity and any hope that my daughter might keep from being one of these flamboyant lesbians went with it.
Why do you call that flamboyance? Because when I think of a flamboyant, out gay person, I always think of the West Hollywood Halloween parade and the guys that are dressed up like the Brady sisters, you know?
Well, this is what they do. The flamboyant lesbians will hit a home run off their fathers. And I tell you, there's nothing more flamboyant out of the closet than one of these lesbians hitting a home run off a guy.
Well, there's a letter that you have sent to GLAAD from the parents of gay and lesbian teenagers that I want to read here in a moment. Let me take a phone call, 1-800-449-8686. Tracy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Okay, how you doing, Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? It's just my opinion. You know, I think you've been, like, really immature because I think that if it was, like, your coworker or your son or someone like that that hit that ball off of you, you wouldn't have no problem with this.
Well, okay. A son, he's a boy.
Right,
but
so what's the difference if your daughter does it?
Because if the girl does it, then she's basically saying she's a lesbian to everyone that's there.
But you know what, listen to this, and you're also being very stereotypical, because not all lesbians like to play baseball. You know, not all lesbians get hit a baseball.
Can I ask you a personal question?
I am a lesbian, I hate baseball.
Okay, but...
So that's why I say you're being very stereotypical.
I know,
that's not
but if you
daughter.
Hate baseball, then you don't play baseball.
Exactly.
But
so
all the lesbians that do play baseball, they play it like a son of a bitch. And I'm up there...
And I've seen some out there trying to play ball and can't play worth a lick.
No,
wait,
hold on.
They just do it for the fun of it.
But hold the phone. My daughter... Okay, you may be right, but any girl that plays baseball good... You're telling me she's not a lesbian?
What if your wife got out there and hit the ball off of you?
My wife...
She hit the ball real good.
Ma'am, my wife couldn't hit a watermelon.
But I'm just saying, what if she did? What if she could... Or your sister?
Are you going to say
that... Does that mean that she's
a
lesbian?
Does that mean she's a lesbian?
I would have some questions. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you need to really grow up for real.
Why would you have questions?
Well, first of all, what girl can hit good off of a guy unless she has male stuff going on?
Not unless she's practiced for a long time. She really admires playing baseball. You know, there's a whole lot of things to take part in that.
Ma'am,
you know, maybe when she was little, her dad didn't play baseball with her all the time, and she just got good at it as she grew up.
Look, ma'am,
same thing with anybody that does something on a regular basis.
Ma'am, my daughter hit that home run to hurt me.
Oh, that's your opinion. You know what? That's some garbage that you have to carry around with yourself. You know, I don't think that's fair for you to put that on your daughter like that.
No, I'm not putting nothing on her. I've accepted my daughter, and we have said to her, you know, that we accept you. And
by the way, your daughter has never come out to you, has she?
You can tell that she is.
No, but she's never said, "Mom, Dad, I'm a lesbian," has she?
So you're just assuming things then.
Okay. Why does she wear cargo pants? Why is her hair
cut like a boy's.
You know what? You know what? I know a lot of people that dress like that. They dress real thuggy, wear the real big pants and everything, and
right.
they are straighter than straighter la la.
Okay, and she's got the backwards baseball cap and
the
everything.
The backwards baseball cap, the baggy pants.
How do you
the
dress?
The sagging pants.
How do you dress?
Because I'm 43 years old. I don't dress like that.
Well, you wear a sports coat and wingtips and everything, right?
No, I don't wear that kind of stuff. I wear tennis shoes, you know.
Okay.
I wear dress slacks. I wear jeans, you know.
But you wear, like, the floor shine shoes or the... Or
no,
the...
I don't wear floor shine. I wear regular old cheap tennis shoes.
Cole Haan?
You know, no, none of that stuff.
Okay. My daughter, and here's the giveaway.
This is all I have to say. Now I'm going to hang up because I have to go cook dinner. But I really feel sorry for you.
What have I done?
And you haven't accepted it. You've accepted it under conditions.
Let me ask you this question,
and that's
question,
not
man.
Right.
You
do need
you
to
wax,
be unconditional.
Okay, my daughter will not wax her lip hair. She's all like, it's okay with her and everything.
Okay, but that's her choice. That's her choice. That's her life.
Look, what are you upset about, Steve? She hit a home run off of you. You know,
shut
I mean,
up.
You'd think you were Ralph Branca giving up that one to Bobby Thompson.
That's how I felt.
Yes, your daughter plays ball. She plays it well.
I mean, she crushed this thing.
Well, I mean, weren't you aware that she played baseball?
Of course I was.
All right. And but what, you thought you were going to strike her out or something?
First of all, I'm older than her. I'm bigger than her. I'm way, way better pitcher than any pitcher she's ever faced.
She's supposed to lay down her talent and everything just to please you. Just not
no,
to make just not
no.
to make you look bad. She's not show not supposed to show her ability.
No ma'am,
right?
no ma'am. It's that she's
that's
being
what it
all,
sound like you're saying.
Well here's what I'm really saying is she should not be all flamboyant and all showing it off.
Oh my God.
All right, Tracy, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is considering a lawsuit against his own daughter because he says she's being flamboyant with her lesbian orientation by hitting a home run off of him at a company picnic father-kid baseball game. No girl can hit a ball that good off of a guy, according to Mr. Bozell. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell, the president of Parents of Gay and Lesbian Teenagers. His daughter, he feels, has been flamboyant lately in an effort to come out. And I hear wind blowing, sir. Where are you? Mr. Bozell, you there?
Yes, sir.
I can hear wind blowing. Where are you?
I'm out on a little hillock just behind my home. I like to stand here and just sip a cup of coffee in the evening, look at the sun go down, and a lot of times I'll just sit and wonder about the things that could have been, that might have been. I just kind of wonder, you know, I guess I screwed it up again, you know. That's what I call this hill that I'm on. It's just the place where I go to think about how I butchered something else up.
And, well, what do you feel you're butchering up? Your daughter is a lesbian. She's happy, isn't she?
She's a very happy girl, yeah.
And you're a loving father and your wife a loving mother?
Absolutely, sir, yes.
Then what are you upset about other than the fact that...
I don't want her getting all flamboyant on me. And when she hit that... Here's another example, Mr. Henry. Every time we have Granny and Grampy over for turkey dinner on the Thanksgiving or the other days, she always says, and she looks, Daddy, give me some of the breast, please. You know, and I say to her, what are you trying to do? And she'll look at me like, she gives me that teenage look, like, you know, huh? You know, with that curled lip... I call it the curled lip routine.
All right, let me go over here now to caller is Mary Jean. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Go ahead.
I have to tell you that in listening to this conversation, I am utterly amazed that this man could have his manhood threatened by his 15-year-old daughter because she hit a home run. That just blows my mind. You must have deep psychological problems, sir, if a 15-year-old could threaten your manhood.
I'm not the one that's gay, okay? Number two. When's the last time you seen a teeny little girl hit a home run off a man? Yeah.
Excuse me, that
answers my question.
That's not the point. If you feel threatened by a 15-year-old child, because she hit a home run, and you think she should throw the game and not hit a home run just to make you look good, then, sir, you need psychological help.
But, ma'am, you missed the other part. I don't want her hitting a home run because I don't want her to out herself.
Okay, excuse me, but if you're already president of PFLAG, then she's already outed herself.
Ma'am, she don't...
And you should get out of this.
The people don't know it, okay, and the kids at the school don't know it.
Well, they don't know it still.
Well, she's just about saying it.
On the radio.
She's screaming it by hitting a home run.
Oh, that is such baloney.
Ma'am.
That is so... That is so small-minded, so narrow-minded, so egotistical and ignorant, it just blows my mind.
All right, let me ask you a question. In the Inland Empire League, I've got as many no-hitters as Tim Drysdon, who pitches for Kurtwell Plumbing, okay? And I'm 7-3, and we're also 16-2 in the league. Now,
oh,
Lunk,
big deal.
I beg your pardon?
Big deal.
Oh, it's a big deal, huh? Listen
to this.
No,
it's not a big deal.
Okay, it's not a big deal. Listen to this, then. How come I've got 4 no-hitters so far this season, and along comes a teeny little lesbian girl and crushes this thing, hits a dinger on me, and sends it downtown, and it's a 3-run shot to win the game?
Let me explain something to you. Let me tell you what I'm thankful for. I am thankful that I never damaged my child in the way that you are damaging yours by this ludicrous stand that you have taken. I am so thankful that I don't know you, or I think I'd probably be afraid I'd come up and hit you, because for you to be this ignorant and damage your child like this over her hitting a home run
just
boggles my mind.
I don't want her prancing around all gay and everything, letting everybody know.
Oh, my God, she hit a home run.
Yeah, that just
she
about
screams. She didn't strip naked and have sex with somebody on the field.
My wife, April, said she could hear my pants whistling from the bleachers when my daughter did that, so...
All right,
oh,
thank you very much, Mary Jean, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. This man feels his daughter has outed herself as a lesbian by hitting a home run off of him at the company picnic.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Stephen Bozell, he's with a group called Parents of Gay and Lesbian Teenagers. His daughter is a 15-year-old. She is a lesbian, and she hit a home run off of him at the company picnic, which she, you think, basically outed herself because a girl can't hit a home run off a guy.
Because of the lesbians are good at softball.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, sir. You call that being flamboyant.
Absolutely.
Well, what's wrong with being flamboyant? Why not be flamboyant? Why not tell the world that you're a lesbian?
Because if she then says that, then it reflects back on me like I'm some kind of, something's wrong with me. On account of, you know, I mean, I don't care. She could go out and say it, but I've got a couple of deals coming up in my business and everything.
And you're afraid you'll lose the business because people may know your daughter's a lesbian.
Well, you're saying that like it's my fault or something.
I think that I'm pointing out that there's a little bit of selfishness on your part. Your poor daughter has to suffer like this.
She's not suffering. I am. She hit the dinger out of me.
All right, I'm sorry.
I didn't hit a home run off of her. She hit it off of me. I mean, my daughter and I were at Sears the other day. I was picking up some saw blades. And she walked by the coffee counter. She goes, "Hey, Dad, let me buy you a cup of coffee." And I said, "What are you trying to do now? You trying to just scream it to the world?" And she gave me another one of those curled lip looks.
Well, I don't understand. What happened?
I said we were at Sears the other day, and I went to get some saw blades, and I also wanted to get some garden hose. And we were walking out to the car, and we walked by the coffee counter, and she says, "Hey, Dad, let me buy you a cup of coffee." And my jaw just about hit the floor. And
I don't understand. What's wrong?
What?
What's wrong with buying you a cup of coffee?
No girl offers to buy a guy a cup of coffee. It's always the other way around. If the girl does it, then she's just basically saying, "Hi, my name is April Bozell, and I am a lesbian, 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 lesbian." She might as well just keep saying lesbian, lesbian, lesbian until everybody on the world, on the surface of the world knows.
All right. 1-800, sir, I understand now, and I'm sorry that I upset you. 1-800-449-8686. Debbie, go ahead.
I just want to express this. My daughter, April, and that's her name, played baseball when she was in junior high school with 19 boys, and she was in the starting nine. She's married. She still plays softball.
And
she plays on a co-ed team, and she could hit a home run off of you any day, and I think it's your ego that's the problem, and
married?
I think you need help.
Is she married to a man?
Yes, she's married to a man.
Because lesbians do marry each other.
This girl is not a lesbian. She's just very athletic.
See, that's the part that kind of tips me off a little bit, because you didn't say right away.
Well, she said she was married.
Well, I know, but she didn't say right away to what? Or, I mean, to who, I should say.
Well, excuse me. She's married to a man. She's happily married.
Does her husband... Is it a guy or is it...
It's a man, right? A man? A man.
A man-man.
Because
yes.
Lesbians, one's a man and one's a girl. That's how they do it.
This is a male, and they both play, like I said, on a co-ed team, and she's one heck of a ball player.
Well, I don't know how far the home run fence is in their league or what kind of pitching they got, so I'd have to take a look. But I can tell you right now, in the Inland Empire League that we play in, we got two former L.A. Dodgers. We have one former...
Angels?
Angels.
You know, you need to start being a little more wrapped up in your daughter and quit being so wrapped up in yourself.
I'm not wrapped up in myself.
Yes, you are. That's all you think about. And this business about her not being able to buy a cup of coffee for her dad, you ought to be thankful that she's that kind of person.
No kidding.
Well, look, first of all, she wants to be a cop. Second of all, every time I come home with blueprints from work, she wants to go over those. And then, something that no woman has ever... She likes the Three Stooges. No woman likes them.
I do. And I'm married to a man.
Okay,
a
see,
man.
Right there, that tips me off. You like the Three Stooges. You got a daughter that plays softball.
What are you trying to say now? That this woman's a lesbian?
I'm saying she carries the gene.
All right.
Well,
it may be funny to you, ma'am, but we're doing something about kids that aren't right.
Yeah, you're hurting them.
Yeah, we got a bad connection here. 1-800, it sounded bad, didn't it? Driving me nuts.
Hello?
Yeah, you're fine. It was her phone. 1-800-449-8686. Rebecca, go ahead.
I have to tell you something, honestly, and please don't cut me off. Let me finish, okay? This is the most arrogant human being I've ever heard in my life. You think that just because a woman is athletic that immediately... Wait a minute.
You're calling me arrogant.
You are very arrogant.
She's the one that watches the Three Stooges and everything.
I'm not the one who watches the Three Stooges. I don't like the Three Stooges, but I rock climb without ropes, and I'm married to a man. And you know what? I make more money than him, and I take him out to eat all the time.
Rock climbing, every woman does. I'm talking about real lesbian stuff.
You know, you're stereotyping every lesbian as being a good baseball player, and that is not how it is.
They're damn good.
Well, you know what? Maybe you just feel inferior because she's better than you are.
No girl can be better than a guy at baseball unless she's, you know, playing fast pitch.
Do you have any college education? Because you sound...
Who, me?
Yes.
I went to JC in Knoxville, Tennessee for a half a year. Then I come out to California.
Well, I think you need to take some biology classes because you're completely confused. You're misconstrued about gay and lesbianism.
Wait a minute. What is... Dissecting a frog going to help me about my daughter hitting the ball really good? Are you crazy or something?
Why are you feeling so inferior because your daughter did that? She wasn't outing herself.
All right.
She wasn't flamboyant. Did she have a sign, ride to the game on a bike with dykes on bikes?
And there she is, loving the Three Stooges, and also...
What is the Three Stooges? So what? I like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Okay, do you also watch Monday Night Raw? No, I didn't think so. She does.
So I rest my case. We're diverse people. We have lots of different interests and lots of different tastes.
Monday Night Raw is the wrestling thing?
You better believe it. Bingo. Give the man a cigar. She's watching Oiled Up Wrestling.
Your pride was hurt. You are taking it out on your daughter. And you know what? Honestly, I think you added her because you said her name on the air. You're the one making a big deal out of it, practically in tears, because you think you're so good.
Hey, that's
right. Well, you know what? Maybe you suck and you just think you're good.
No, I'm really good. I got 6 no-hitters. And also,
everything I hear out of you is just I. It's all about you. Me. What about your daughter? You are damaging her. In fact,
what about
you ought to be proud of her for being such an athlete.
I tried to help her. I sent pamphlets around the neighborhood about her being a lesbian so they'd treat her gooder.
And
they treat her gooder. You need to go back to school. You know what?
Oh,
you are absolutely ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss.
Oh, you all think you're so smart.
Well, I have two degrees, and I happen to know that you're very wrong. You're very arrogant. You're very self-centered. Every stereotype in the world that I have ever heard of before is coming out of your mouth.
And what do you mean you sent pamphlets around the neighborhood saying
that's
that she was
her.
A lesbian?
That's outing
no,
her
that's
by
not,
him doing
that's
that.
That's telling him don't hurt her.
What are you talking about, man? You just mentioned her name on the air.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not, ma'am.
Well, you need to rewind it and play it again because you did. You said your daughter's name was April, and then you said whatever your last name is.
See? You don't know. Because I never said my last name.
You hear yourself. I hope you get a tape program of this because you are absolutely the most asinine, arrogant, pompous person I have ever heard of in my life.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
You don't know what I mean by that? Because it's about you, not about your daughter. Your daughter didn't sit there. You know what flamboyant is? Look up in the dictionary what it says. It says ornate, okay? Was she wearing a bunch of pins that says, I'm a dyke, look at me? No.
Yeah.
Beat your butt by getting a home run.
Right.
She should have hit you in the head and knocked some common sense into you.
Well, I don't know what she's talking about now.
All right. Anyway, thank you very much, Rebecca, for your call. I can only say, Steve, that wind's getting pretty loud, isn't it?
Yeah. I just like to stand here and think.
Okay, Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're standing on a very hilly windside, on a very windy hillside, I should say. I would like you to think twice about...
Pack of Marlboros, please.
Well, where are you, on a windy hillside or at a 7-Eleven?
Well, I mean, I'm on a windy hillside.
Talk to your daughter. Tell her that you're sorry. Tell her it's cool she watches the Three Stooges and kicks your ass at baseball and that you'll never tell anybody she's a lesbian again. Okay? Will you do that? And then we can all just sort of forget this ever happened. This radio interview with you standing there on the hillside collecting your thoughts. Oh, brother.
Hey, there goes my daughter right now. Hey, Dyke. I mean, I'm sorry, April. Can you get
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Yeah, I got a new theory on Alzheimer's, right? Anyway, they say aluminum could cause it because people who grew up eating out of aluminum pots, then you go nuts or whatever. Your brain falls apart. Yeah, right. Let me tell you what. My old man had that disease. That's what he died from. He died from strokes, but he basically had Alzheimer's. And he got Alzheimer's. I'm convinced because he was a narrow-minded, inflexible man. He had no ability to absorb and incorporate new information or new experience. Nothing broadened him. He, at a certain point in his life, he just stopped. He stopped growing. And, you know, my ex-girlfriend, her father had it. And she said he was the same kind of guy, Mr. Know-it-all. You know, he had all the answers. You know, these guys, you get to a certain age, you know, your parents, suddenly they just got it all down. They got the whole thing down. And I tell you, I think that's what gave him that disease. He just didn't have the ability to keep his brain going, you know. That's what you got to do, keep the old brain going. So I had a dream about my old man the other night that I was beating the crap out of him. What do you think that means? He's already dead. Yeah, my father's been dead since 1987. Why was I kicking the crap out of him in this dream? I know. I must be trying to make emotional contact with him. One thing about people, they all got issues with their parents. I don't care who you are or what you are. As the saying goes, if it ain't one thing, it's your mother. Ain't they just something, your parents? Aren't they? And right now, get a load of this. Right now, I have a deal going with my siblings, and my mother is being cared for in a very beautiful facility. It's a nursing facility because my mom needs a little bit of help getting around. But it's a great place, and they have tremendous professionals there, and it's a very healthy environment for her. But guess who got stuck with the tab? Thank you. You're looking at him. You got it. All right. Yeah, I got stuck with a tab. Phil can afford it. He'll pay for it. Let him do it. Why? Because, frankly, after all these years, the truth comes out that my siblings never had any intention of doing anything other than looking out for themselves, and I'm the guy that gets stuck with a tab. And do I care what they think about me saying something about it on the radio? No. I don't give a crap. Because if I'm the guy that's got to pay the bill, then at least I get to vent about it a little bit, don't I? That's okay. I'll take care of my mom. They don't want to do it? They got other things they got to do? That's fine. You mark my words. All of you guys out there, if you haven't been through it, if you haven't had to put a parent away yet, you will someday. And when you do, that's when everything starts falling apart between you and your brothers and sisters. I guarantee it. Not falling apart so much as just all the tension starts coming out. Everybody gets pissed off. Everybody starts getting angry that you didn't take care of it, and so on and so forth. So I'm the guy that's paying the tab, and I got my wife every, you know, month saying, I'm writing that check. Have you talked to your sister? Yeah, I guess. It's not doing me any good, though, is it? But I had to. I had to take over the situation because it was going downhill rapidly. Let me tell you what. I'll tell you something else, too. If you're a parent and you have kids, so that means me, Chris, and I don't know who else around here has got kids. All you guys, listen to me. If you can give your kids just one thing, give them this. Make yourself sufficient enough so that you don't rely on them when the time comes where you can't, you know, work anymore or take care of yourself. Get your act together, pull your crap together, put some money in the bank. Don't piss it away on everything. You know, make provisions for your future, for God's sake. And then when the time comes, when your golden years arrive, and we say, well, it's easy for you to say, Henry. Well, at least I'm trying to do it, all right? We're socking it away. Marie and I put it away. You wouldn't believe how we put it away. Buying that car a year ago ate my guts up. I didn't want to buy that thing. Every nickel that we make, every extra nickel, we stick away. Because I'm not going to stick the four kids with taking care of me. Yeah, that's great. That's a great thing to lay on your folks, man. Or to lay on your kids. Can I move in with you? Yeah, okay, I guess. So, do your kid a favor, do yourself a favor, save some freaking money. Put some dough away, get a retirement fund going. I don't know how you want to do it, just do it. And you don't have to wind up like some people I know. Of course, the bad news is, those guys aren't kicking in for my mom. I don't know who's going to take care of them when they get old. I don't know what they got going on, but all I know is I'm the guy paying the tab. Cool, fine. I'll pay the tab. They better not give me any more crap, though, about, whatever, decision-making, etc. Well, there you go. I just laid a little bit of the old family drama out for you. But, hey, you know, it's you got to think about it. I'm telling you right now, don't let the world pass you by, man. So we put all that bread away, and we live hand-to-mouth. You want to see our house. There's no furniture in it. And we eat, like, you know, day-old bread from the bakery. All right. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Now, when you go to our website, you pick up a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 for the month. $6.95 for the month, and then it takes you through that little portal into the world of our audio archives, into the world of our live streaming radio, into the world of our 30-day archives, our webcast archives, and as well as all the other features on our website. We have our souvenir shop. We've got places to go, such as our diary, our R.C. Collins diary. There's the scrapbook. There's the wall of female listeners. We've got a fun zone where you can play a couple of video games. You know, all kinds of stuff. A bio page, show news. It's all there on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendrieshow.com. And, of course, when you get into our souvenir shop, please consider buying one of our best of CDs from any of the years. This year, especially, our 2002 is a terrific buy. It's a double CD set, and it's only $20. Two for the price of one, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And if you'd like to find out more about them, go to homelessyouth.org, homelessyouth.org. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.